This is the first installment of the run. Here's part of my crew for tomorrow. We're getting stocked up for the run. We got, I had to buy sunglasses. Salt, very important to maintain the salt. Then of course, pomegranate juice, Red Bull, very important. Coca-Cola to satisfy the soul. Water to refresh my water bottle, of course. And we have family size cabbage patch kids, great sugar. I'm very tolerant of it. And then we have several Milky Way bars that would last probably five Halloweens. And more water, always in the glass, because I'm so health conscious. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me here. We're experimenting here the night before the run with a two-way radio system. Greg Davis thought this would be better than calling on the phone, and he's probably right. We're trying to figure out if this is going to stay put when I run. This antenna usually sits up here, but we thought about tucking it in. So this is an experiment to see if it works. You stay right here, and I'll give it a big test. I'm not going to be running in blue jeans tomorrow, but for the test, it'll be fine.
We also want to make sure he can make it to the end of the hall.
Breaker 1-9, this is Rubber Duck. Seems to be working fine. Welcome to Thursday's show. As you watch this show, I am on my self-imposed 72-mile, hopefully, run. It's 8 a.m. as this show is published. But as I am recording this, it is still Wednesday evening. My brothers are here. I'm going to show you them in a second. They're sitting on the sofa right on the other side of this camera. And I can't tell you the fun and adventure we have had. It's been nonstop talking about God and packing, getting ready for the trip. They're all three going to be with me all day. Wes Follenkamp, Greg Davis, and Terry Clements. And the videos you saw just now, that was before Wes got here. Greg and Terry and I were at the grocery store. So for all the people who believe that sugar is the devil, you saw the devil going into the grocery cart, but that is going to fuel my muscles. My muscles love it. I will not eat that way when I get home. I am going to take extra care. Thanks to you, the body of Christ who loves and cares for me. I am going to take extra care that when I get back from this run, I'm not going to be running crazy distances. Going to get back to my regular 8 miles, but I don't need Milky Way bars for that. So I am going to eat better. I'm going to focus on cutting down sugar in my everyday life. I appreciate all your advice. But how do you like that two-way radio? Greg Davis brought that. It's hooked up to my shoulder. So instead of wasting phone power, I'm going to be in contact with these guys. So again, as you're watching this, I'm probably 20 miles in, maybe 14 to 15, 20 miles in with only 57 to 60 miles to go. But you can't think of it that way. It's one step at a time. That's one of the lessons here. One step at a time. Somebody told me one. I was riding my bicycle across the country and I met this 60-year-old guy. And at the time, I thought this guy was ancient. I thought this guy was a dinosaur. He was 60. He was riding his bike from Colorado to California. And I couldn't believe it. I was 20. This guy was old man, and he said to me, "Let me tell you something, sonny. I got a word of wisdom for you." I said, "What is it, sir?" "Remember this." "I will." "What is it, sir?" "Life is hard by the yard. By the inch, it's a cinch." And I said, "Wow, that is good." I guess his wife had needle-pointed that for him and put it on the wall. "Life is hard by the yard. By the inch, it's a cinch." I will never forget on that Trans-America bicycle trip. I was still in California. I went to a Howard Johnson's. Remember those places? And the placemat had a map of the U.S. on it. And I looked at where I was and where I had to go. And I'm like, oh God. And I got kind of sick. But I wasn't taking it by the inch, was I? No, I was taking too big of a picture. So it's little tiny bites. But these gentlemen, I'm going to show them here. I'm going to turn the camera around. They have weird team. We're going to all be together. I thought maybe we would do shifts. Like maybe Greg take the morning shift and Terry take the afternoon shift and Wes take the night shift. No, we're all staying together the whole day. We'll have a little place to lay down in the Jeep if they need to, or I might need to. There they are. The champions. We are the champ. There they are.
Hello. We'll take care of Martin for you.
They're going to take care of me?
Yes, we will.
I can't see what I'm doing because...
Yeah, we did something.
Can you guys see yourselves?
Yeah. Kind of scary, but yes.
Can you guys see yourselves?
Hello, America.
I can't see what I'm doing there. But I love these brothers, and they've been a great help, and we've had actually, and they've helped me forget my problems. All my medical problems, I've just forgotten about it. I've been a free man because of these guys and because of this run and because of the anticipation, the excitement of waking up in a few hours and being engaged in this. I just love this. It's going to be a short show today. I just want to read to you Colossians chapter 2 from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. I'm first going to read a section of it from the Concordant Literal New Testament. This is the part about philosophy. Beware that no one should be despoiling you. But J.B. Phillips is always great on this. Here's the Concordant version. Beware that no one shall be despoiling you through philosophy and empty seduction, in accord with human tradition, in accord with the elements of the world, and not in accord with Christ. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop reading it there in the Concordant version, because I really don't have time. I am so pressed for time. I have to get to bed at like 8 o'clock and get up at 3:50. So I'm going to just read from the J.B. Phillips translation, the lesson for the day, the spiritual lesson. Besides, life is hard by the yard, by the inch, it's a cinch. That's enough. I could stop the show right here, and you would have a nugget of wisdom. I just remembered that elderly man's name. It was Bob Brown. I remember that now. And I think I stayed in touch with him. This was in 1980. I stayed in touch with him, and I think his wife ended up writing me, telling me that he had died. But our lives intersected. It's just the people we meet in the strangest places. I met him in the Rocky Mountains. He was having a hard day, you know. And I thought I was having a hard day. Then I saw this 60-year-old guy bicycling 50 miles a day with this great saying of wisdom, and I'll never forget it, obviously. How many years has it been? Over 40 years, and I still remember Bob Brown. Wow. Thank you, Bob Brown. So that alone is a lesson. But now I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 8 from J.B. Phillips' paraphrase. Be careful that nobody spoils your faith through intellectualism or high-sounding nonsense. And even in the body of Christ, we are being seduced, or attempted to be seduced by intellectualism and high-sounding nonsense. Such stuff, back to J.B. Phillips, such stuff is at best founded on men's ideas of the nature of the world and disregards Christ. Yet it is in him that God gives a full and complete expression of himself within the physical limits that he set himself in Christ. Moreover, your own completeness is only realized in him who is the authority over all authorities and the supreme power over all powers. Verse 11. In Christ you were circumcised, not by any physical act, but by being set free from the sins of the flesh by virtue of Christ's circumcision. You, so to speak, shared in that, just as in baptism you shared in his death, and in him are sharing the miracle of rising again to new life. And all this because you have faith in the tremendous power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You, who were spiritually dead because of your sins and your uncircumcision, the fact that you are outside the law, God has now made to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you all your sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in his final glorious triumphant act. In view of these tremendous facts, don't let anyone worry you by criticizing what you eat or drink, or what holy days you ought to observe, or bothering you over new moons or Sabbaths. All these things have, at most, only a symbolic value. The solid fact is Christ. Nor let any man cheat you of your joy in Christ by persuading you to make yourselves humble and fall down and worship angels. Such a man, inflated by an unspiritual imagination, is pushing his way into matters he knows nothing about, and in his cleverness, forgetting his head. It is from the head alone that the body, by natural channels, is nourished and built up and grows according to God's laws of growth. So, if through your faith in Christ you are dead to the principles of this world's life, why? As if you were still part and parcel of this worldwide system. Why do you take the slightest notice of these purely human prohibitions? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't handle the other. This, that, and the other will all pass away after use. I know that these regulations look wise with their self-inspired efforts at worship, their policy of self-humbling, and their studied neglect of the body, but in actual practice, they do honor not to God, but to man's own pride.